Previous days, Saroji explained that while the yogis are having the opportunity to practice, and in order to practice, in order to gain the kind of happiness that surpasses the worldly happiness, they have given up the worldly pleasure. And in order to gain the kind of happiness that has a guarantee, one should have faith and confidence. One should have strong will to practice, and one should practice courageously, diligently. And Saroji explained the qualities of the Dhamma, and that the Dhamma is high and it can uplift the beings. Practicing the Dhamma, one can gain guarantee in one's life. And one understands the virtue of the Dhamma through his or her practice. In order to encourage the yogis, Saroji was explaining, taking much time explaining about the qualities of the Dhamma. And if the qualities of the Dhamma are to be explained in detail, it will be very lengthy. So Saroji will stop on this topic for now. And later on, Saroji will explain more. And Saroji explained that when developing vivadagami kusala, wholesomeness that can lead to cessation of the continuous arising. When one is developing vivadagami kusala, when they have this opportunity to practice, if one is practicing not respectfully, not continuously, stopping in between, then it shows that one does not respect the qualities of the Dhamma. And it also means that one does not respect the Buddha who found this Dhamma, which has a guarantee. Even though one does not deliberately show disrespect, but by practicing in an easygoing manner, even though he or she does not have the intention to, and even though the person does not have bad intention against the Buddha, but if he or she is practicing not respectfully, then it will be like disrespect to the Buddha who founded the way to, who founded the Dhamma. And it will be not worthy of giving up the worldly pleasure. It will not be worthy of giving up the sensual pleasure if one is not practicing respectfully or diligently. If one is not practicing diligently, if one is practicing in an easygoing manner, then one will also be losing to gain the kind of happiness that is very unique, unrelinquishable, that has a guarantee. So that's why Saroji has the responsibility to encourage the yogis who are here. And it is Saroji's responsibility to urge them to practice respectfully and diligently. Seeing the yogis who practice respectfully, meticulously, if Buddha was alive, Buddha would praise these yogis who are practicing diligently and respectfully, saying that this yogi practices respectfully, this yogi practices the Dharma diligently, respectfully, and so on. And seeing the yogis practicing diligently, respectfully, the meditation teacher who is giving help will also feel satisfied with the yogi's practice, and the teacher will be glad to see the yogi's progress in the practice. So Sarojee says the teachers here, they will like to be satisfied with all the yogis who are here. And Sarojee says within the days left, Sarojee encourages to practice diligently. So while the yogis have this opportunity to practice Vivatagami Kusala, if they are practicing without respectfully, if they are practicing in an easygoing manner, it will be Pamada. And Sarojee will continue to explain from both theoretical and practical aspects. So it is very important to know the value of the practice. Knowing the value of the practice, one will cherish the practice, and one practices respectfully, diligently, so as to gain benefits. In order to do so, one should be mindful, apart from sleeping hours, whatever posture one is in, whether walking, standing, sitting, or lying, one should be mindful of every bodily action without failing, without missing. One should be mindful of even the small details, even the smallest movements, such as blinking of the eyes, opening, closing of the eyes, and so on. And every movement should be done slowly, mindfully, with much care. In order to note the presently arising object without missing, without failing, one should not be looking here and there. If one is looking here and there, one is not practicing respectfully. And also, one should not be listening to the sound or to the noises. Even though the person can see, but the yogi has to act like a blind person, not paying attention to what he, she sees. Even though the person can hear, but the yogi has to act like a deaf person, not paying attention to what he, she hears. Even though the yogi may have general knowledge, about the Dhamma, but during the practice, one should not be reflecting on them. One should not be reflecting on this theory, but one should be careful. One should be mindful of the presently arising object. Rather than practicing, if one deviates away from the practice, thinking, imagining what it is, how is it, why is it, thinking a lot, it is also not practicing respectfully. Panya vasa yatha mugo, meaning that even though the person may have general knowledge, but he, she must act like a dumb person. When a healthy person sits down or stands up, bends or stretches, the person make this movement abruptly, quickly. So a yogi must not move quickly. If the yogi is moving quickly, then it shows that the yogi is not practicing respectfully. So one should be noting continuously on these bodily actions so that the notings will be continuous. Balawa dobalori wa, meaning that even though the person is strong, but the person should act like a weak person, moving slowly, and one should be mindful, doing slowly, mindfully. And when one turns, one should do it slowly, mindfully. If a sick person do things quickly, then it may be a threat to his or her life. In the same way, yogis should not be doing things quickly. If the person is doing things quickly, then he, she may not be able to keep pace with the movement, and one cannot be mindful of the details. Just like a sick person finds it difficult even to move his or her legs, the person has to do slowly. In the same way, yogi has to act like a weak person, moving slowly. So Saraji says, yogis should reduce their speed of action to zero so that they can follow the movement in noting it. If the yogi is acting like a healthy person, doing movements quickly, abruptly, then yogi is not practicing respectfully. And in the text, it mentions how one should practice respectfully. It is called Sakkaccha Kriya, practicing respectfully. So there are examples given in the text. When one is holding a bowl with a brimful of oil, one should hold it carefully so that one does not spill the oil. So if one's hands move a little, then the oil can spill. And another example is given in Rajagaha. There was a very famous acrobat on show, and one person wanted to see the acrobat on show and asked permission from the authorities. First, the authorities did not give permission, but later on, the authorities gave permission and said that he should be holding brimful of oil in a bowl, and also one guard will be following him with a sword behind the person. And if the person feels even a drop of oil carelessly, then the guard will chop off his head. So, fearing his death, the person should be very cautious not to feel not even a drop of oil. So that the person should be very cautious. Just as the person who fears of death should be very cautious not to spill the oil, in the same way, yogis should be cautious not to lose mindfulness. If one loses mindfulness, the mind will not be calm or collected, and thus there will be delusion, dim and vague about the object, and kilesa defilements can enter the mind. If one does not have moral shame that the defilements will enter the mind, it will be ahirika, lack of moral shame. And also, there will be lack of moral fear, anuttapa. And also, by lack of mindfulness, the mind will be distracted and there will be udaccha, distraction. Lacking mindfulness, there will be defilements such as moha, delusion, ahirika, lack of moral shame, anuttapa, lack of moral fear, udaccha, distraction. And if the person comes across desirable objects, there can be greed, and these unwholesomeness can arise by leaps and bounds. It is based on disrespect in the practice. It is because one does not practice respectfully, and by lacking mindfulness, kilesa defilements enter the mind, and the person loses to develop vivatagami kusala. So the unwholesomeness will replace wholesomeness. If one cannot note the object continuously. So one should be noting continuously without any gaps in between. If there is lack of mindfulness, then there will be gaps between the notings, and the yogi is negligent. Yogi is failing his or her duty, and it will be called pamada, negligence, failure, heedlessness. Only if the notings are continuous, then it will be strong. If the notings are not continuous, if there are gaps between the notings, then the notings will not be energized, but it will be weak. Saraji gives an example. A rope is made up of many fibers. Each of these single fibers do not have strength, but when these fibers are entwined together to make into a rope, the rope becomes strong and durable. So the fiber being entwined into a rope becomes amazingly strong. If the fibers are not entwined together, if they are apart from each other, then the rope will not be strong, and the rope can break at the place where the fibers are not intact, where the fibers are not closely entwined to each other. So in the same way, one should keep mindfulness, continuous without gaps in between, so that the mindfulness will become strong. One should be mindful of every arising object, and one should guard, protect one's mind by mindfulness continuously. Noting continuously, sati, mindfulness, will arise continuously. If there are gaps between the mindfulness, then it will become weak, and one is also losing mental strength. So one should keep mindfulness continuous so that mindfulness will become strong, and one should practice respectfully, meticulously. And Saraji has been encouraging the yogis to practice respectfully, meticulously from the very beginning of this retreat. While having the opportunity to practice, one should practice respectfully and one should practice continuously without stopping. Rather than practicing continuously without stopping, if one is doing things in an easygoing manner, then it is said that one is not practicing respectfully. If one does not practice respectfully, one will not be thorough in his or her practice. So one should practice without stopping, without gaps in between. If one is forgetful to be mindful, if one is forgetful to note the object, if one does not note the object respectfully, then it will be pamada. And Buddha said that if the yogi practices without respect, if the yogi practices not respectfully, then it is pamada. It is negligence, failure, heedlessness. So if one can note the object, it will not be pamada. It is not negligence, it is not failure, but it will be apamada, non-negligence, non-failure, non-forgetfulness. So one should practice respectfully, and also one should practice continuously. It is called satata kriyata, meaning one should practice continuously. So when the objects are arising continuously, one should note with aim and effort so that the noting will be effective. The noting mind will stick onto the object, whatever object that arises. And when the noting mind sticks onto the object, there will be sati, mindfulness. And also, the mind will be calm and collected. If one does not note the object with aim and effort, then there will be gaps between the mindfulness. And it is called asatajja, not continuous in the practice. One should practice in such a way that the preceding samadhi, preceding concentration, and succeeding concentration should be continuous without gaps in between. Only when samadhi concentration is developed, one can also develop knowledge. If the preceding concentration and the succeeding concentration are not continuous, there will be gaps in between, and thus there will be anyana, not knowing. One will not know, one will not discern dukkha satta, the truth of suffering, which is arising. There will be moha, delusion. In other words, there will be avijja, ignorance, not knowing the truth, knowing wrongly. Just as the objects are arising continuously, one should be noting these objects with aim and effort so that mindfulness will follow continuously. And if there are gaps in between mindfulness, if there are gaps in between the notings, it will be pamada. Kusalana dhammana anatita kriyata pamato, meaning that if one develops wholesomeness, stopping in between, it will be pamada. So when practicing, one should practice without stopping in between. If there are stopping in between, kilesa defilements can enter the mind. If the mindfulness is not continuous, mindfulness will be weak, and also the mental strength will also be weak. If the yogi practices for some time, stop in between, gazing, thinking, and so on, then it will be pamada. So in ordinary kind of wholesomeness, when one performs dana, when one practices sila, and then stop in between, it will be pamada. When one is practicing meditation so as to remove kilesa defilements, rather than practicing respectfully, rather than practicing continuously, without stopping in between, if the yogi sit for some time, practice for some time, and then stop in between, gazing, thinking, and so on, then the mindfulness will be weak. It will be pamada. One's bhavana bala, the power of mental development practice, will become weaker and weaker if the yogi stops in between his or her practice. The commentator gives an example about a chameleon. A chameleon, a kind of lizard that lives on trees. When a chameleon sees a mate or sees food, then the chameleon goes for a while, stop, looking here and there, nodding, and then will go again. So the chameleon goes in stop and go manner. So the chameleon does not go continuously. In the same way, yogi who practices stopping in between, yogi who practice in stop and go manner is compared to a chameleon. So in ordinary kind of wholesomeness, at times the person keeps precept when he, she remembers to do it and stop in between. And also when paying respect, when doing puja, when he, she remembers, and then there will be stopping in between. And also when listening to Dhamma talk, when the person remembers to do so and stopping in between, it will be pamada. And also when practicing meditation so as to remove kilesa defilements, when the person is stopping in between, then it is called anatita kriyata, meaning stopping in between. If the yogi is stopping in between, then the defilements can enter. So one should be practicing continuously without stopping in between. Sayaraji gives an example of charging the battery in the car. If the engine is going on, then the battery in the car will be charged, and the battery should be connected by wires. And when the engine of the car is turned on, the battery will be charged. If the engine stops, then the battery charging will also be stopped. So if the engine of the car is stopped, turned off for a long time, then the battery can get run down. And at times, it is even difficult to start the engine of the car if the engine has been turned off for a long time and when the battery gets run down. So by turning on the engine, when the engine is on, then the battery will be charged. So in the same way, yogis need to practice continuously so that mindfulness will be energized. And when the yogis practice continuously without stopping in between, yogi gain momentum in the practice and mindfulness will become strong and energized. So yogis should be practicing continuously, diligently. So Sayaraji says, in ordinary kind of work, if one works for a long time, then the person can get exhausted. But in spiritual work, in spiritual practice, one should be practicing continuously. When practicing meditation, the spiritual work, one should practice continuously. By practicing continuously, mindfulness will become amazingly strong. By practicing continuously, mindfulness will become energized by practicing continuously. So that's why one should practice continuously. If there are stops in between, then kilesa defilements can enter the mind. Mindfulness will be weak. And if the yogis are practicing in stop and go manner, they cannot progress in the practice. They will be taking many days has gone by, but their sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration will not improve much. By noting every arising object respectfully, meticulously, then preceding concentration and succeeding concentration will be continuous. And the noting mind will be very close to the object. Sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration will become strong and energized. And the noting mind will be very close to the object. If the mind is distant from the object, one cannot see the object very clearly. So one has to note in such a way that the noting mind will be close to the object, as close as possible. If one looks at things from a distance, one cannot see clearly. Taking a closer look, one can see more clearly. Sayaraji gives an example. If one sees a row of termites from a distance, then one may think it is a rope or a branch of a tree. But if the person goes closer, then the person will see things moving, and the person come to know that it is not a rope or a branch of a tree. When the person goes even closer, then the person sees the termites in twos and threes moving. And when the person goes very close, the person sees each and individual termites moving. In the same way, in order to see the object clearly, one should practice respectfully, continuously. And by practicing respectfully, continuously, when the noting mind is very close to the object, then the yogi will see the object very clearly. In order to do so, one should note the object with aim and effort. By noting the object with aim and effort, there will be sustained mindfulness. The mind will be calm and collected. There will be samadhi, concentration. And when the noting mind and the object become face to face or direct, then the yogi comes to know the true nature. Yogi will come to know mind and matter, cause and effect, and also fast arising and passing away of the objects. Whatever the object that arises, yogi will be able to note the object in detail without missing, without failing, and at this stage, there can be illumination, piti, joy, pasati, tranquility. And at this stage, yogi comes to experience the taste of Dhamma. If one does not practice respectfully, then yogi will not have faith and confidence because he, she does not see through his or her experience. By practicing diligently, when one comes to experience through his or her practice, then the person will have faith and confidence, coming into acceptance, confirmation, and decision that the Dhamma is true. In this way, yogi's faith and confidence in the Dhamma will become stronger and stronger. Faith and confidence in the Buddha will become stronger and stronger. And also, the person is grateful for the people who are supporting so that they can be on retreat. So they are yogi become grateful of everyone who made this retreat possible by supporting in every way. And also, yogi comes to have faith and confidence in the teacher. So at this stage of the practice, the mental strength become very strong and energized. And there will be a strong will to pursue the practice. Yogi feels strong will to go further in the practice, and yogi does not want to withdraw from the practice. So in this way, the mental strength becomes stronger and stronger. And especially when the yogi has overcome the stage where the yogi experiences much pain, when the yogi overcomes the stage, yogi becomes very courageous in the practice. And the yogi practices diligently, respectfully, continuously. And the yogi has moral shame and moral fear from failing to note the object. At this stage, yogi becomes courageous to note whatever object that arises. Yogi can even challenge whatever object that arises, I will note them all. So in this way, the mental factors, the mental strength become stronger and stronger. In the beginning, Yogi has ordinary Virya, Sati, and Samadhi. But at this stage, Sati, mindfulness, becomes Subhatita Sati, firmly established mindfulness, so that Yogi can note every object without missing, without failing. The noting mind sticks onto the object. There will be sustained mindfulness. Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, becomes very strong, and the noting mind will be very close to the object without any gaps in between. The mind will not scatter, it will not be distracted, and the mental strength such as Saddha, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, faith and confidence, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and knowledge will become stronger and stronger. As one develops knowledge, these mental factors, Saddha, Viriya, Sati, and Samadhi, Panya, faith and confidence, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom will become amazingly strong. And the yogi continues to practice respectfully, meticulously, continuously, without stopping in between. Just like the example Sayaraji has given, if one keeps the engine of the car turned on, then the battery will be fully charged and one can use it in any way he, she likes to use. In the same way, yogis should keep their Satipatthana engine going. One should turn on the Satipatthana engine going continuously so that one's practice will become energized, and one understand this example from both theory and practice. So this will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.